Well, the theme for the day is The Call, and, oh, that's neat. Wow. Yep. Okay, The Call. Part of salvation is that God calls us to be part of His family, right? It's not so much we call on Him. At first, it has to start with His calling on us, and we'll talk about that. But there are different steps of salvation here in Romans 10. And last week, Pastor Rick left us off. He had a powerful verse that ended the first half of Romans 10. And that is, if I, as I can hardly see, I'm going to get a new Bible this week. That's all there is to it. Gerald couldn't even read my Bible, so I don't feel so bad. Okay, there we go. Ah, yes. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it starts with calling upon the name of the Lord. And when the promise is that we will be saved, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, right? Not how good you are or anything about you. It's not about us. We sang about that earlier today, too. It's not about who I am. It's who He is. So He calls on us. He calls to the faith. We call upon Him. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let's talk about salvation here. And I have really wonderful memories of this 10th chapter of Romans because it was a verse that a couple college ministries used a lot. I used to go to a Lutheran campus church in Illinois State University in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, right? And I just had an experience with the Holy Spirit, feeling called to go in the ministry, and I'm just flying high and really in God's Word, being a Missouri Synod Lutheran at that time, right? And we had this campus pastor that said, we're talking about prayer, he says, well, frankly, prayer doesn't mean that much to me. With all these college kids, wonderful. I lost it. I go, I'm sorry, but we don't teach that in Missouri Synod. This is the Missouri Synod campus church here, isn't it? Well, the last time I checked, we believe it's Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, and the power of God's Word. And I quoted Luther and the Scriptures and everything else, and he didn't like me very much. He just wanted to do his little social ministry with all the college kids, and he thought there wouldn't be any college kids that would challenge him. Well, I challenged him really strongly and kept doing it because he had all these impressionable young Lutherans, and he's telling them that prayer doesn't mean much, and yeah, this doesn't mean much, and blah, 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 blah. So finally I left and went to a evangelistic sort of evangelical group called Navigators. Tried Campus for Crusade for Christ and went to the Navigators, and they really talked about evangelism and did it. Went out and did a lot of evangelism and talked about the importance of evangelism. And I know, Pastor, for you, it's your passion, your giftedness. And it's something that God puts in our heart as a desire for lost people. Whether we're going out to eat, I remember going to dinner with Rick and Robin one time, and they were witnessing to all the waiters and all the servers, and it was awesome to see. We're all called to do that. We'll get to that point. But this is all part of salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And in this, there are about seven different steps to salvation. And Paul is going to talk about that, and he's going to start with what we just talked about, the verse from last week, about the fact that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says, however, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? So we got salvation right here, the different steps of salvation, because we have the steps here, okay? We have salvation. We're saved. We know Jesus Christ. But what were all the steps that led to this person coming to know Jesus? And maybe in your life you can see or you can look back and think about how there were various steps for you to come to Christ. Except for Daryl, it was like, ka-bam! But for most of us, it's a gradual process, right? And so the people we witness to sometimes will see that. At first they weren't real excited, and maybe God opens their heart a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more. Next thing you know, they're excited about the Lord. Next thing you know, they're accepting Christ. Next thing you know, they're in church every Sunday. Next thing you know, they're going to be a pastor someday. And how God works that. It's amazing, the process. But it starts with salvation. But he says, well, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? So you got salvation. The step before that is believe. What does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes in Him, right? That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but... So it starts salvation, but before that you have to believe. It's not like, well, I'm baptized, I'm going to heaven. No. I was confirmed, I'm going to heaven. No. I was a church member, I'm going to heaven. No. It's do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Not, well, I try to be a good person, Pastor. Well, good for you for trying. That's not enough, you know. It's faith in what Jesus did for us. So salvation is the step. But before that, it was belief, having faith. We talked about that, Gerald. We talked a lot about 5 minutes here before the sermon. Can't get to all of it right now. All right, so salvation. Before that, you had to have faith. And he says, and how can they believe in the one they have not heard? So what's this step? Hearing, right? So you have salvation. First, then you have to have faith. But before the faith, you have to hear it. Are you hearing me? Can you hear me now? Yes. Sure, okay. Good. Because the call of God is not about our smartphone. It's if you're smart, if we're smart, we will listen to the God's word and apply it. Because he says, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? People cannot go to heaven if never heard about him. So that means somebody ought to be talking about it, right? And sharing this. Otherwise, people are going to be lost and they're not going to go to heaven. And we don't want to be the reason for that. We don't want to be the gap in the next generation or other people that don't hear about the Word of God. This should be a matter of life or death for people. It is a matter of life or death for people. And we are called, we have a call in our life to be that witness. But what does a witness do? I've got several parents who are going to court, trying to prepare them for court, and sometimes they want to give their opinions about their kids. The judge is going to throw that out, and I try to tell these moms, they get all emotional on there, oh my Johnny this and Johnny that, and blah, 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 I think and I feel. The judge does, I try to tell him, the judge doesn't care about what you think or what you feel. Any witness that's called to the stand is just going to, is supposed to say what they heard or what they saw, period. That's it. And for us, it ought to be a comfort. God doesn't call you to have a master's degree in theology and know everything. It's just, what has God done for you? What have you seen, God? What have you heard from God? What has God done for you in your life? And just tell people, when they're going through something, you can say, well, this is how God got me through it. You don't have to have all the answers. And they ask you a bunch of questions, just say, I don't know, I'll get back to you. You don't have to have the answers. A witness doesn't have to know everything about everybody. Simply experience and share their experiences. So we have salvation. We have before that calling on the name of the Lord. We have before that belief. And before that, they have to hear. So we have to hear the Word of God, and somebody's got to be out there. And he says, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So now we've got preaching, which is a bad translation. This is not a good translation. The word is krypton in Greek, which means to be a proclaimer, to proclaim or herald out the message. Otherwise, it sounds like we've got to be have an MDiv, you've got to be an ordained minister to proclaim the word. And that's a terrible translation, because then it throws all the power off the people and say, well, the clergy. And that's not what the Christian church is all about. The early church is about everybody witnessing. Everybody. Everybody. And that's why the church exploded in its growth, or why it still does in some countries, where everybody goes out and shares what God has done for them. Right? Everybody has a story, right? We'll talk about that later. So unless someone proclaims to them, they aren't going to be able to hear it. So here's another step to salvation. Somebody has got to get the word out and proclaim that message, right? And if not you, who else? And if not now, when? What are we waiting for, right? We're called to leave our comfort zone and go out there to the people who don't know him. And Frank and Marianne, you've worked a lot with evangelism, right? And I'm going to talk to you just a little bit, ask you a question, because there are different steps. But even before the step of someone proclaiming in evangelism too, you know, there's some preparation work before even talking to someone. And I'm going to ask you about that in a second. Because it says, and how can they proclaim unless they are sent? So here's another step. Before they can have salvation, before they call on Jesus, and I've got an affirmation of faith in our services and have that happen, they call on Jesus. Before they hear the Word of God, before someone proclaims the Word of God, someone has to be sent, right? So someone, there has to be a calling out and someone sending us. The Holy Spirit has to send us out, and we have to hear that call. So there's a call on all of our lives to be witnesses. There's a call on all of our lives to make a difference for eternity for other people. You might be the only Christian, the only opportunity that someone has. It's kind of scary, right? And God's counting on us. There's a story, it's not in the Bible, but Jesus had come, ascended into heaven, the angels were there congratulating him, welcoming back to heaven. Can you imagine that homecoming must have been, right? And then the angels said, now Jesus, who's going to get this message out? What's the plan? He said, well, I got my disciples down there. See those 12 guys down there and all filled with spirit. And the angels look down at all that ragtag group and goes, Jesus, what's plan B? And Jesus says, I don't have a plan B. We are the ones he's counting on, right? He's calling on us, all of us. And the church I grew up in, we never talked about evangelism, never talked about sharing our faith. It was just not something you did as a Lutheran. That's the essence of Christianity. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. So God, Jesus said, I'll go with you. I'll send my Holy Spirit to be with you. So it's not your power, it's my power. So he said, don't do this on your own power, or you will fail. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Then go be like my disciples. Then go with the power of the Spirit. So the people have to be sent. Okay? And it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Not just how beautiful are the feet, like, oh, let's take our shoes and socks off. No, that's not what we're talking about. But what do our feet do? They take us places. Right? They take us to go. And when we are sent and we go somewhere, and the feet, how beautiful the feet are those who bring good news. In the history, years and years ago, messengers would be the ones that would run back to the home lines, the offices and the camps and so forth, to give news about victory or defeat. And there was one man who was a marathon runner who ran all the way, and he said, Nikos! Nike! And then died. Nike is the Greek for victory, and he died. We get the word Nike from that. This guy yelled out running. He didn't have Nike shoes on, but he ran all the way, collapsed, died, and said victory, and then that was it. It was the end of his life. We're called to be messengers who share that message of victory, Nikos, Victoria, to many, many people. That Jesus has died, but he's risen from the dead again, and there is good news, right? There is good news for everybody. But we have all this preparation from salvation here, starting way back here. Now we're getting to you guys, Frank and Marianne. You talked about in our Bible class about a couple, maybe 6 weeks ago, of just walking around the neighborhood and praying about it. Because you're the satisfied customer. If we come to the door, we're the paid salesman. Well, we were supposed to say that. And so actually you can lead people to Christ easier in some ways and have a better relationship. But I had a pastor knock on my door yesterday. I visited a church on a Sunday night. I needed a spiritual worship service. And my neighbor, next door neighbor, goes to it, says, I'll go with you. Well, I made a mistake with filling out the card. They kept bugging me, please fill this out. I just put a little bit in. Now, here comes this pastor, unannounced, knocking on my door, all dressed up. And I'm not really dressed up. I'm working from the sermon, working on an emergency situation with one of my clients. And it's just a crazy day yesterday after Friday being a nutty day. The last thing I wanted to do was talk to anybody, especially a pastor who's going to try to get me to join the church. I'm a little busy on Sundays. There's no chance I'm going to join your church, but he's just all gung-ho about this. And so it was actually a negative thing, not a positive. He didn't have set up an appointment, and he just wanted to talk to me. And I don't have time right now. Goodbye. Go to someone else. But we're all called to be there where to go where the people are at. In many ways, not just physically, but Paul said he was all things to all people, that in all ways he might save some, right? So we're called to be there for people, and we're going to talk more about that. But it takes our feet to go where people are at and be with them. And thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. It really is. So we're called to use our feet, that we can be sent and go out with a message. And it says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? You ever felt that way? Lord, who believes? Where is everybody? We go to CR, what happened? We go to church, we start service, people get all excited, and then they go bye-bye. and then they come back, which is good. We're glad to have them back. That's what we're all about, is keep welcoming, keep inviting over and over. Because you never know how long it'll take. It might take 100 years. And I'm just keep holding on to that with my own kids. It takes 100 years. Even after I'm dead and gone, I have somebody praying, prayer works. Prayer does change hearts and situations. Thanks be to God for that, right? For that encouragement, yes. But he says, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So how does faith come? From hearing. And hearing what? Message of what? Of who? Of Jesus. The message of Christ. So it starts with hearing. And it goes the second. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, faith comes by hearing and hearing the message, and it always is about Jesus. I've got to say something real quick, as Pastor Rick, when I, hold on, no, you, I want you to talk. But when I first started here, Pastor Rick would call me on Sunday mornings before the service, and he'd add one last reminder every time. Just give him Jesus. Give him Jesus. Yes, we preach verse by verse. Yes, we preach the Word of God. Absolutely. But it's all about Jesus, because he's the one that all the Scriptures point to. Old or New Testament, doesn't matter. Are we pointing people to Jesus in every message, every teaching, every time we come together, every celebrate recovery? It's about Jesus Christ, because he's the one that did it all by his death and resurrection. It's not about trying to earn God's favor or anything else or about us. It's only him. Jesus only. Right? And so he's the one we lift up, because he's the only Savior. And he put the word in the prophets, whether it be Ezekiel or Jeremiah. He put that word in them, right? He spoke it into them, and then they couldn't but speak. They couldn't. It just fills up a pastor, a preacher, so much. Have you ever been so filled with the Word of God that just fills you up, right? Maybe now, maybe not. But sometimes a certain word speaks, and it's like, bam! It just takes, it's a shock to the heart, is one of the songs we sing about. It's a shock to the heart. It's a spark. It's a shock to the heart. When we give that message to others, we can't keep it in. It's like a fire inside of us, right? And that's what enthusiasm means, God inside. So, anyway, well, what about all these other people, Paul said? Well, did they believe? Did they have faith? Did they hear? It says, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. So, in other words, the Jewish people had it all going for them, and now the gospel is known to these pagans, these Gentiles of all people, and they're going to come into the kingdom? What? That's not very Lutheran. That's not real religious. That's not traditional. We've never done it that way before. But there's new wineskins. It's a new wine. It's a new life. It's a fresh word from God in Jesus Christ. But the world's so caught in tradition and religion, didn't get it. Didn't catch it. But others did who weren't, they weren't even looking for God, it says here. It says, and Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Were in your life, was there ever a moment or a time where you weren't even looking for God and God shows up to you, right? You weren't looking for him, and here he comes. Here's Jesus in your life. He comes in your life, and wow! You go, well, I wasn't expecting that. And everything changed. Everything changes when he comes and reveals himself. And then look out what happens, because not only do we call upon the name of the Lord, but God calls us. I remember being called in the ministry, that feeling, that experience. Pastor Rick remembers when he was called. And there's something really powerful when you feel called in the council. Some of you have been in council, never thought you'd be in a council. And it's just all kinds of things how God works. And we come at a place we never thought we'd be, right? And we have a call of God on our life. It's not just pastors. You have a calling. The word vocation means call. Voca means calling. You have a calling. Right? Come on. Do you have a calling on your life or not? Thank you. Where's Jasmine? Well, if there is a calling, it makes life an adventure, and it's a purpose, there's a passion. If we don't have a passion about this, forget it. The Bible, Jesus says, I'll spit you out if you're lukewarm and you're hot or cold. Like, whatever. No, it's not a whatever. It's God called me to this. This is what I must do. The prophets, they move. Jesus moved. The disciples were called apostles because they were sent out, apostoleo. They were sent out. We are called. We have a calling on our life to be sent out, hopefully. We really do. And last week I talked about a man named Charles who went through an awful situation where he had three at the time, and he just got married, and his wife, second marriage, decided to leave him. Says, this is too much of all these boys and you, forget it. He's feeling all alone, sitting back there. He felt this hand touching him. There's no one behind him except Jesus. And gave him encouragement. Well, he moved to the state of Washington. And Pastor, you know the story better. Can you just share just real quickly of what you just found out?
I called Charles yesterday. You probably remember him coming with his three boys. He had a fourth son that's 12 years old that his wife had custody of. Well, I recommended him to Pastor Peter's church, and for those of you who have been here a while, you might remember Pastor Peter. And he went up to Pastor Peter's church, and what he's doing now, executive minister, which means he takes care of all the administration, you know, as far as paying bills and all that stuff, okay? Charles, okay, he's now a leader in the church, and who knows, maybe down the road he may be a pastor. You just never know, right, Robert?
Thank you, Pastor. And I heard that Tim is a substitute teacher in Illinois. He didn't do that out here. And it's like we think we know where we're heading with life. Do we know? God wants to lead us. He wants to take us by the hand, step by step, and call us into new and exciting things that we didn't know. It talks about doing things and being people of God beyond we could ever dare to ask or even imagine. God's dream for us, His vision for us is so much greater than our self-esteem so low. We put ourselves down so much, and God wants to lift us up. He wants to say, no, you're precious, you're valuable, I want to use you. If I can use these 12 disciples, I can use you. I don't have a plan B. And not Uncle Sam, but Jesus wants you. He's calling us now. And I really believe He's trying to call more and more people because the days are getting shorter, and He's calling out frantically, will somebody please hear my call? Because I need, the vineyard is overladen with fruit, the vineyard, all this ripe and fruit rotting, and we need workers. And so Jesus said, call to the Lord, ask the Father to bring more workers in the vineyard because there's more work that needs to be done in our area. It's overwhelming, and the time is short. So there is an urgency. There is an urgency to this message. There's an urgency to this gospel. The time is now, right? For us, if we want to love somebody, love them today. Want to encourage them, speak to them, do it today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So may God give us that urgency and that faith to hear His call on our lives so that others will call on the name of the Lord and be saved and will be with Him forever in eternity in heaven, forever and ever and ever, praising God together. And may God grant that. May He do that. In Jesus' name, amen.